I am really actually hoping to bring that other perspective and those questions that people really want to ask but afraid to ask, so that maybe they can hear it from somebody else's story and understand the perspective of the other person.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. And we're back with another episode of Podcast on Podcasting. It's your host, Adam A. Adams. And today we are going to get into Serena Hu's story and her podcast. The podcast itself is called Talk About Cancer. Talk About Cancer. So she's interviewing people. I know that I've met her on Clubhouse and she was like, how do I find people that are willing to be on this podcast? And I know there's other challenges. So we're going to get into her challenges. We're getting into everything that she's doing to crush it. She's actually has currently, as we're recording, has a full-time job while she's doing this on the side. And so if that's you, if you've got a full-time job and you're like, man, I don't think that I could start a podcast right now, probably get a little inspired here with Serena, because she's probably working a lot of hours at her position and still able to make it happen. So with that said, Serena Hu from Talk About Cancer podcast, that link is in the show notes. Serena, my first question is, how are you doing today?
I am good. And I am very impressed that you remembered my question from Clubhouse.
Somehow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we got on and you were like, how do I like reach out to these people like and get them on? And I think that there was also a second part of that where, I don't know if it was about your job, but it was almost like you couldn't reach out to some of them for some reason. Can you remind me why that was?
Yeah, so that was actually at the very beginning where I was trying to find that initial group of people to get together 5 episodes before I officially launch. And I started with your friends and family network, obviously, to start with. And what I was asking that day in Clubhouse was, I'm not really hearing back from people. I thought there would be more responses. How else can I really find guests? And you were like, it doesn't sound like you're actually asking anyone. And I was like, oh, he's absolutely right. But I did get a few folks from just initial outreach through friends and family. And during that time in Clubhouse, what other people were sort of suggesting were, well, why don't you go on Facebook groups and ask people, because there are lots of cancer support groups out there and lots of activities, so you could maybe find people from those types of groups. And what I was saying was kind of a barrier in my mind was that it may seem a little bit salesy, because people are really there to look for support from each other. So to just sort of pop in and be like, hey, I have a podcast, do you want to share your story? It's kind of like, who are you? And go away. I am suffering and I'm going through this experience. Leave me alone. So I didn't actually end up going down that route because I did want to just sort of respect that space. What I did end up doing was I did start to get on social media more, because there are lots of people out there that are actually trying to get their messages out. Anyone who has gone through the cancer experience knows how profound that experience is. And what I find that after the fact, everybody is really eager to sort of spread their experience, share the message, and help out and give back in some way. And so what I ended up doing was I ended up going on IG and other social media and just sort of seeing like who's actually out there already sharing their messages, because those are people who would be interested in coming onto my platform to share their message. And they're also I think, already have their thoughts together. They have a message that they've sort of crafted. And so that's the group that I am focusing on working with right now. And I've had good successes in finding people. And so far, I have like 2 months out, all sort of lined up at this point. And it's a little bit also like learning that process of like, how do you plan out far enough in advance so you're not sort of scrambling? All of that is happening right now.
That's so cool. That is so cool. As far as like your outreach to these people on Instagram, a couple of thoughts that come to mind or questions that come to mind are, one of them, it's like, how do you even approach it now? Like, what is your pitch? What do you say? Are you just asking questions and eventually, you know, maybe they're reaching out to you? And also, I was wondering, like, are you following any hashtags that have helped you to be able to find the right people?
Yeah. So one thing that I am really trying to do with my podcast as well is to have a very diverse set of voices and perspectives. So there are definitely podcasts that are started by cancer survivors and patients themselves, and they're able to bring a very different flavor in a different perspective, because they could sort of sit around and kind of joke about things that are happening that are ridiculous that they have to go through in their lives. And I, as a former caregiver, am not able to take that kind of angle. And so what I try to do is I try to sort of think about, do we have caregivers represented? Do we have family members represented? Obviously, survivors and patients themselves. But I try to sort of bring in a more rounded sort of perspective from all angles, and also looking at different groups. I think it tends to be easier to find women guests just because I think they're more comfortable with talking about their feelings oftentimes. And so it's sort of doing that targeted outreach in addition to people that are kind of naturally coming to me and say, hey, I love to share my message. I'm also being targeted and saying, hey, here is a male breast cancer survivor. That's a voice that we don't always hear.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. So that's an upcoming show.
I'm going to have to go get a mammogram.
Yeah. So it's, I think I'm trying to be thoughtful about how do I bring in those voices that aren't like always heard, and doing targeted outreach to say, hey, this is my podcast. And the other kind of unique thing about my podcast is it's less about resource and medical information sharing. It's really to explore the human experience that kind of is common to all, regardless of what kind of cancer you have. And so that's what I do, is I reach out to them and I very upfront sort of explain, I love to have your show. Representing diverse voices is important to me, but I really focus on the experience rather than sort of the medical details. And I say, if you're interested, let me know. And I love to send you more information. And so far, I've had good responses that way. In addition to, I think, people who naturally just reach out to me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a smart way to do it. Just let it be the ball in their court, especially because it's a sensitive subject and you never know. And so you just kind of, hey, this is what I have. And if you're interested, then I can tell you more. It's super short. You're not giving a whole bunch of links, and it doesn't sound salesy spammy like you're trying to avoid as well. And thinking about you, one of the things that you said that I really liked, and I want to stay there for a little bit, is you think about their experience and talking about those thoughts, those feelings that all of us go through, and exploring that a little bit deeper. And it made me think that, man, when Serena's putting together like her podcast, I assume that you're spending a lot of detailed time thinking through like, what questions should I ask? What order should I go through some of the questions? How should I ask it? And if that's the case, can you give me and the listener a little bit more support on how we could go about starting our podcast with making sure that we're serving the right person, asking the right questions and things like that?
Yeah, it's ironically, I don't prepare questions in advance. What I do though, is I do try to learn a little bit about my guests in whatever way I can that's available online. So some of them may have a website, some of them have a good social media presence. And so what I'll do is I'll sort of dig into those to say, what is this person like? What experiences have they had? I usually tell my guests that, and it's true, cancer is such a multidimensional, complex experience. You can never, I think, fully capture it in one podcast episode. And so usually what I ask them to do is think about one or two messages that you really want other people who are going through a similar experience to know. Something that really surprised you, something that you were afraid of, something that you want to celebrate. I mean, those are kind of at the core of what our human experiences are about. And so when I actually go into the recording, I have some understanding of who they are, what their experiences have been already. And then it's just really being curious and really listen to what they say, because they come already with a message. So what I tell my guests is that you're in the driver's seat. I am here to listen to your message. And I will obviously poke and have follow-up questions, or maybe even clarifying questions. But I really find that by just being fully focused and paying attention to what they're saying and fumbling and trying to figure out what's the right next question, it actually comes a lot more naturally and the conversation flows better that way. I did prepare questions in the beginning, like when I first started recording, I just never used them. So I ended up not preparing actual questions going forward, and it's worked out okay so far.
Very interesting. So one of the things that you mentioned was that you ask them one or two messages that they want to share on either what I went through, what I struggled with, what I've overcome, what I want to celebrate. And it sounded like you said that you might, or I was assuming in my head that you're about to say that when you have somebody as a guest, you'll like actually record two different episodes with them sometimes. Is that accurate, or was I just kind of projecting?
No, I would just record one episode.
One. So they would just tell you the two things that they might want to go on, and then you would pick one of them, or how does that work?
Oh, I see what you're asking. I think I suggest one or two messages, because sometimes it goes from very sort of profound ones like lean into your pain or take your moment now, right? Don't waste time, live your life now, to, for example, like one of my guests was like, I don't know why they use the phrase cancer prevention. That's so ridiculous, because it's not something you can prevent, because she was a 3-time cancer survivor of different types of cancer. And so that topic, for example, you don't talk about that for as long, but it is an interesting perspective to add to the conversation. So some of the topics naturally are a little bit shorter. So in those cases, we may talk about two different topics in the same episode. And then sometimes it's more kind of a full story of here's what happened and here's my main message based on the story that I just explained to you. So I think I say that because it just depends on, some topics are a little bit more, I don't want to say lighthearted, but it's just sort of like you're just kind of talking about something that kind of irritates you and you're sharing your opinion about it versus something more personal. Yeah.
Speaking of personal, your podcast is about cancer and having conversations around cancer, talk about cancer, literally the name. And I was wondering, like, why that resonated with you. You were thinking to yourself, oh, I want to be challenged more. I've got my job. I figured out my job. I want to do something else. And you had choices of, I could start a podcast about flowers. I could start a podcast about investing in gold, or I could do it about cancer. And you decided cancer. So what's kind of the reason behind you starting this particular podcast?
Great question. My life and my family members have been touched by cancer a lot in the last decade. I've lost my grandma, my dad, and now my uncle, who's also dealing with brain cancer. So it's just something that although I am personally, thankfully, not a cancer patient survivor, but it's been around my life to people who are very close to me for the last 10 years. And I decided to do this. I actually thought about doing this probably 3 years ago. It was a year after my dad died that I started to think about this because, as I was mentioning before, it was an experience that really surprised me how intense it was and how it just threw everything upside down. And I love podcasts. I'm one of the OG podcast listeners from like 2005 when it was just NPR basically on Podcast World. And I love this medium and how personal it is. And I just thought that it's the perfect medium for storytelling, which is what I want to do. But life just got really busy. I mean, after my dad passed away, there was a lot of settling in that I had to do with my mom, helping her to sort of now being on her own and going through job changes and all of that. And so ironically, it took quarantine where everything else stopped to then have the time and be like, you know what, just push it through. Like, this is the golden opportunity because there's so much upfront work that you have to put into making it happen. And once you sort of figure out a system, it becomes more manageable. So there was a little bit of like race against time in my mind before everything opens back up and life becomes more busy again. I was like, I just gotta push this out, figure out my system, make it manageable. So it's sustainable for me to do it for the long term.
A lot of good stuff. I appreciate you going into that. And really sorry to hear about the three parts of your family that were touched by cancer. And it does make sense why you'd want to go in that direction. I am curious, besides just having some storytelling, what really is the goal of the podcast? Like, do you want to have a consulting program and help people going through cancer? Do you want to monetize and have different cancer prevention places? I know you said that doesn't exist, but support the show and help out with the show. Are you looking to make sure you're getting closure for family members that have gone through this? What's really ultimately your big why behind the why?
Yes. So as I mentioned, I think for now, it's definitely something that I enjoy doing. I feel like there's more purpose in my life. I'm really giving back in a way that is also enjoyable for me. It's creative. It's using a different side of my brain. It's connecting, as I said, to my social work roots at the core. And so I think just that part alone has been really awesome. And I think in a part of just all of the conversations that I've had with my guests, I mean, it's been such a healing process for me just to listen to their stories and talk about them. I mean, there's so many connecting points that I have each time I talk to someone. And I've also heard from my guests that they find it to be a very cathartic process for them to talk through some of those and sort of process out loud with me. And ultimately, the reason why I decide to have this sort of 360 approach instead of just focusing on caregiver's perspective or only cancer survivor's perspective is because one thing that I found in my own experience with my family members is when you're going through the cancer journey with someone that you love, there are things that are hard for you to say to them because you're trying to protect them. And so there's always a bit of dialogue. I mean, not always. I think some families are very open and transparent with each other, but for many of us, there's always some things that you're not really saying to the other person because you're afraid it's going to upset them, because you're afraid it's going to hurt them somehow. And so I am really actually hoping to bring that other perspective and those questions that people really want to ask but afraid to ask so that maybe they can hear it from somebody else's story and understand the perspective of the other person, even though they're afraid to ask those questions themselves, and hopefully bridge that experience and maybe encourage them to have that dialogue because they sort of have an idea of what it's like from the other person's perspective. In the long term, yeah, I think I love to really build up a community for this and actually make it into my main gig somehow. I've heard just take, for example, there are podcasts out there around that are about birth stories. And I've seen them get really creative about sort of like developing courses and communities in the long term. I think the one woman from Australia, her podcast eventually became something that medical professionals could listen to get continuing education credits. Like, how awesome is that? So yeah, so I think I have to kind of figure out what that could be in the long term once I actually build up a good community around this.
Wow, good stuff. Got so many possible things that I could take this. I want to hear from you out of all of the challenges, and there's a lot with starting a podcast. Out of all of them, which one did you overcome and are most proud of? And yeah, well, I'll just ask one at a time. So yeah.
In starting a podcast, I would say the most difficult one is putting myself out there and asking my family and friends to help. And that may be counterintuitive, but before this, I was dead on social media. Like, I had 50 friends on Facebook. They were all family. I actually intentionally purged my Facebook account over the years so that they sort of came down to just being my family members, basically, because I'm actually a pretty private person. I don't really like to put myself out there and have a sort of a lot of information about my personal life on the internet. So that was uncomfortable. But I think because I really wanted to do this, I was like, it's just something I have to get over if this is what I want to do, because I'm going to have to put myself out there. So I think I just had to like mentally work through it. And I think I probably didn't do a very good job about harassing people when I launched my podcast, because they say, hey, you should have a launch party, get your network to really support you in that process. I did, but I think I did probably not as good of a job as I could have, but I don't know. I can live with it, because ultimately family and friends are there to support you. Many of them have, and I was grateful, but I knew that I really just need to get over it and then focus on really reaching the people that are going to be my audience in the long term.
Do you do your own post-production? Like, do you edit your own show and everything?
I do.
Okay. Is that something... How long does it take you to kind of do the editing? Because I know a lot of people that say it'll take me about maybe 2 to 3 days to do a 15-minute episode. And I've got others that say it takes me like 5 minutes to do a 1-hour episode. So I know it goes anywhere in between. What does that kind of take in you? Do you enjoy the process? Do you want to offload it? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's actually, when you were asking about the biggest challenge, that is the biggest challenge right now. Even though I've started, that is the biggest thing that I'm struggling with right now, because the stories that I record are so personal to my guests and to me. So I really treat it with care. And I know that a lot of people say, you know, you should eventually hire an editor who can help just really like make that process a lot less painful and really make this project more sustainable for the long term. And I absolutely see that. But I'm having a hard time really thinking about how do I offload this to someone who doesn't really look at the story the same way I do, because I take a lot of time in my editing to make sure that I am putting my guests in the good light. I'm very careful about like certain things that I edit out and leave in. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. I think for it, just because the topic itself, I think for certain topics, it doesn't really matter, right? You probably just need to make sure that it sounds clear and there's no swear words or whatever and things like that. But for me, I do put in a lot of thought into how is this flowing? What is the message coming through? Does this make my guests look good? Am I talking too much? I will take myself out. All of that. So that's actually one piece that I'm really struggling with right now. And if you have any suggestions.
I'm trying to think. You definitely, well, so many things. How long do you think it takes you for one episode then? Oh. And how long is the episode and how long time and attention is it taking you, out of curiosity?
So my episodes or my recordings are usually between 40 and 60 minutes long.
Okay.
the final output is usually around 40 minutes.
Okay.
And the edit, how long it actually takes me to edit it, probably anywhere between 1 hour to 3 hours. And it just depends on...
Oh, that's not bad. I mean, I know your hourly rate at your work. This is thousands of dollars you could be saving. But with like what you're doing and how you want to, you kind of feel like you need to be that creative process. And I think it might be hard for you to find the right person to give it to. But yeah, I always suggest to clients, offload it. You don't want to do it. But in your case, it might be tough to find that right person who can give that same attention. But 2 to 3 hours is not too bad. It takes my team usually at least 8 hours for one episode. So,
well, with that's just the actual editing piece, though, right? It's not like all the other stuff that comes after it. So I think what I probably need to do is looking at outsourcing everything else that comes after the editing piece, like actually making it sound good, tweaking the EQ and all of that stuff, because I don't know how to do that stuff. And it takes like trying to do it in Audacity and it's ridiculous. And it probably still doesn't sound good. And also all the marketing pieces and trying to figure out how to actually drive more traffic and get people to subscribe, which is really the key. I mean, I've been playing around a lot with IG and looks nice. I create all this cool stuff in Canva and load it on there. But when I really look at how it's driving traffic, I'm like, I don't know if this is doing anything. So it's a little bit of test and learn phase, definitely. But I probably should think about investing in hiring pros for that part is probably what I should do.
If I could speak on that, hopefully this benefits you and what you're working on, Serena, and I think it'll definitely help others as well that are listening. The thought is some of those promo images, from my experience, what I've seen, we serve 40 plus clients that we're doing all of this for. When publishing it on your own social media and your own platforms, Instagram, etc., when publishing your podcast on your stuff, it's going to get a ton of traction the first month. And then once they've seen, they, meaning your followers, your friends, your family, your connections, once they've seen it a half a dozen times, 13 times, they kind of put up their horse blinders and they become like immune to it. They don't notice it anymore. It becomes part of the noise. But what does seem to get lots and lots of value and traction is creating those image cards, those quote cards, and those audiograms and giving them to your guest to share, because their friends and family might not have ever seen it. And so they're not desensitized to it anymore. So having them share it can help a lot. So I'm going to give just three quick tips for it. Use a quote card. So where you or your team, my team does this for other people, you pick a quote where that guest really shines, and you just create a square image with the branding of your podcast. Their photo has to be bigger than your photo. If your photo is even on there, they're the ones that need to shine on the quote card. And then you just put it in quotes, make it look really pretty. And in subtitles, small, 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 it'll say where they can listen to the rest of the episode. It seems like a lot of our clients' guests will share those quote cards often. Another one is an audiogram. We have a lot of science that shows that 17 seconds or less is what you want these audiograms to be.
Oh, interesting.
And you mentioned Canva, so we're going to put that into the show notes. That's a great place to do the quote cards. For these audiograms, 17 seconds or less, Headliner is a really good place for that. It's free. It's on Headliner, and most people can do it pretty fast. Like, even if you don't have experience doing it, Serena, you should be able to just put that 17, 15 seconds where your guest is speaking, and it'll make it look really pretty on Headliner, and then you can download it and give it to your guest, and they'll be like, oh, I sound so good in this. I'm going to share that. Mm-hmm. They really want to. And then additionally, you can post it on like YouTube or something, and you'll create its own unique thumbnail, like a YouTube thumbnail, where they might want to share that as well. So that's just a couple of tips. that you can do, and Headliner and Canva make it as fast as possible for you. And one ninja strategy, that extra tip, is if you email your guest the day before it comes out, and then the day that it comes out, the probabilities skyrocket for them to share it. It almost triples for the likeliness of them sharing it, versus if you only send it out to them the day that it comes out, or if you say, hey, I loved your episode, it's coming out tomorrow, good news, I'll send you an email tomorrow. Anyway, so I just wanted to throw those out because I think that might support you. Certainly would be more than happy to have a conversation with you if you want to see how we could work together. But if you want to work on Headliner and Canva, those should help you a lot. Is there any other like tools or automation? I'm saying it wrong. It just feels really awkward to say that word right now. Automation. Is that wrong, Serena?
Automation?
Yeah, you fixed me. Yep, automation. No wonder it sounded so bad.
It sounded right.
It felt okay, but it wasn't perfect. So automation, so much easier to take out a syllable. Thank you. Are there any tools that you use on top of maybe Canva that help you to be able to make your podcast a little bit more streamlined?
So you mentioned about Headline. I actually use Buzzsprout. And so they have a sound clip tool, which is what I leverage. But the tip about the 17 seconds, that I didn't know about. So that's a really good nugget, because their tool allows you to have a clip up to 60 seconds. And so I think what I've been doing is like, I've been trying to get sort of like a full message in. So mine has been a lot longer than 17 seconds. So I'll have to take a look at that. That's a good tip. In terms of other automation tool, I love Calendly, and I know you use that as well, but I just find it just saves me so much time in trying to schedule the recording. Especially lately, I've been scheduling recording with people from all around the world, and just trying to do that math of time zones in your head would have been a nightmare, because I have guests that are emailing me is like, I think that's 8 a.m. your time. Can you confirm? And I can just say, don't worry about it. Calendly takes care of it. It converts it. Just book it in your own time. It's going to be fine. So that's actually one of my favorite tools in my process.
There is only one issue with Calendly.
Okay.
Not to throw a wrench in it, but I will. Absolutely. I've had a couple of guests who, like, they're traveling. They're on East Coast time for a conference. And then they'll go and book it. And then they'll go back to West Coast time.
Right.
And they're like, I thought this was 3 hours different. Like, what's going on here? And I'm like, were you traveling the day that you scheduled that? And they go, as a matter of fact, I was. How would you know that? Well, it's happened before. I do like 6, 7, or 8 episode recordings every single Wednesday. And so that's happened to me 1 or 2 out of 100. It doesn't happen very often, but...
But it
can. You should notate it ahead of time. And so Calendly, is there any like particular question that you ask on Calendly that supports like you getting everything that you want? Or is there certain times of your day? Do you like block it out once a month? Do you block it out once a week? Or is it just any time at all? How do you use Calendly? Is there any special tips or tricks that we could take from it?
So I know people always say do batch recordings. I've heard that many times. I haven't jumped on that bandwagon yet, just because, as I said, I want to give my guests full attention. It also drains me a lot afterwards. So I can't imagine doing 6 or 7 recordings in one day, just because of the types of conversations that I'm having with them. And so what I do is they have that really handy function where you could have a set schedule. You sort of like plan it out every week. I am open these 3 days during these 3 time slots. And so what I actually do is I would set in the feature to buffer 2 hours of time before and after, so that basically anytime someone books out a slot, that day is done. because I don't actually want to do multiple interviews in a day. And so I also find that very handy because in the beginning I didn't do that. And then it's like, all of a sudden it's like, I have three interviews that day and I really didn't want to do three interviews. So that's actually one kind of just helpful function that they have.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And how about this? If somebody is listening and they're heavily considering starting a podcast, they don't have it yet, what would you say to that one person? It's a full open book for you. What would you say to somebody who's thinking about doing it, probably wants to do it, but they haven't got off the fence yet?
I would say make sure that whatever you're going to podcast about is really going to serve something for yourself. Because if you're not getting anything out of it, but it's really just more, I'm going to try to see if I can make money out of this by getting ads or whatever. It's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. You have to learn a whole bunch of like technology gadgets and online websites and apps and whatnot. So it's when things get tough, if it's not doing something for you, something that's meaningful, aside from just trying to make a quick buck, you're not going to be able to push through it. So that's what I would say.
That's interesting. It reminds me, in my real estate investing days, there's this passive investor. And this passive investor is like, I need to make sure that so they would invest in somebody else's real estate. And so this guy is like, I need to make sure that the operator's making as much money as possible. And all of the other passive investors were like, oh no, I don't want them to make money. I want me to make money. The highest amount that the passive can make, the better. But this one person had a little bit more unique point of view. And it's similar to what you just said. He always said, I want to make sure that the operator's making as much money as possible. And I just want to be along for the ride, not taking a big cut, because when things go south, when things get tough, I don't want them just quitting and leaving. I want to make sure that they're making plenty of money, that they're excited about what they're doing. And for that, it builds that sustainability. And with what you mentioned, if you're not all the way in on your podcast, when it gets tough, because as you said, it will get tough, you might not have as many listeners as you wanted. It might be difficult to publish an episode on time. So you need to make sure you're getting something out of it, whether it's leaving a legacy or learning or making connections or making money. If you don't get something out of it, it probably isn't sustainable. That's a very interesting way to think about it.
And I appreciate, say that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I say that more from because it is a passion project for me. I think it would be different if this is what you are doing as your main gig and it's a connection to your business. I think that would be very different. I think that I take that more as sort of like, this is my passion project. It's my side thing. So you have to make, this is taking up my free time where I could just be relaxing and watching TV or whatever. So, although I never watch TV, but so that's what
I don't watch Netflix?
I do not.
Ever?
Not anymore. The last, yeah, it's a whole nother topic.
All right. We'll for another for day. The next episode. So Serena, who her podcast is Talk About Cancer, you can scroll down. You'll be able to find the link to the Apple podcast right away, or you can search for that wherever you listen to your podcast and be able to connect. And I would, if could I just ask you a favor, listen to an episode or two of her podcast and just give her honest rating, a written rating and review. And if you haven't done that for this podcast so far, just take a second. It really is fast. And just leave an honest written rating. I will read that. Serena will read that when you do it for the Talk About Cancer podcast. So jump on over there. Serena, is there a website or another way that you want the listener to be able to find you or get a hold of you?
Yeah, I do have a website, and it is talkaboutcancerpodcast.com.
Talkaboutcancerpodcast.com. So that's in the show notes as well. Serena, thank you so much for sharing your story of launching your podcast. I know as we're recording, you have about 11 episodes published. it's exciting. You're learning a lot. You're experiencing a lot, and you're making sure that it's something that you're passionate about. I'll let you go. So just to the listener, make sure that you go out and grow your show, grow your impact, and grow your income. I'm your host, Adam A. Adams, and I'll see you next time. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.